Our scripture today speaks of love and our call by Jesus to love from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. Jesus has been confronted on a couple of occasions, but on now one of the scribes came near and heard them, the Pharisees, arguing with Jesus and with one another. And seeing that Jesus had answered them well, he asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all of the understanding and with all of the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared ask him any question." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us your word this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so once there was a happy little chameleon. He lived in the forests of Madagascar. Lunching on a green leaf, he would turn green. Napping in a tree branch, he turned brown. Wherever he was, he blended in, until one day he wandered into a camp of tourists on safari. He turned kind of khaki as he crawled along the tent wall, then white as he crawled over the sheets of the bed. It was all going fine until he lost his balance, fell into an open suitcase, and landed on a plaid flannel shirt. The poor little thing had a nervous breakdown and was never quite the same again. Sometimes I have to say that I feel a little bit like that chameleon. I do fine as long as I can do one thing at a time, right? Right now I'm preaching. That's pretty much all I have to do. That's good. I'm good with that. In a couple hours, I'll go home. I'll be a wife, a dog owner. I can handle all of that. It was tougher when I was a mom at home. Now I'm a mom to a kid that's off in France, so that's pretty simple. This last week, I played hostess and tour guide for friends who were visiting from Nebraska. This coming week, I'll be a teacher or an editor, an accountant, property manager, and who knows what else will come along. And for the most part, everything is fine. As long as it's one thing at a time or a couple things, so my life is just kind of striped, it's okay. But there are those times when everything hits at the same time and life becomes plaid, with everyone and everything wanting a piece of me, and I can't do it all. I have to choose, or like the chameleon, feel like I'm in danger of losing my mind. I'm sure I'm the only one here who has that experience. So how do we pare things down? Among all of the competing good, necessary, desirable things, how do we choose? That, at least in part, is what I've been trying for us to get a handle on through this sermon series. Because understanding how we are shaped by God, our shape, Knowing our spiritual gifts, our abilities, being true to our personality, learning from our experiences helps us sort out, encouraging us to know when to say yes and also when to say no. Yes to those things that match our shape, no to those things that might cause us to lose our minds. Now, of course, it isn't always as simple and clear-cut as that. There are always times when we say yes simply because there's a task that needs to be done. Table needs to be cleared. Someone needs a ride to the doctor. You notice an empty coffee cup sitting around. At such times, we don't need to worry a great deal about our gifts or abilities, our personality, our experience. We're the ones on the scene. We do what needs to be done. But as a general rule, we don't want to live our life that way. We don't want our decisions and our choices to be driven by whatever need is placed in front of us. I believe that we are happiest and most effective when we serve in ways that are faithful to our shape. In this series so far, we've looked at spiritual gifts, abilities, personality, and experience. Today we conclude. But those other things provide good tools for us to know how and when to say no. If we don't have the ability, or it doesn't fit our personality, then it's a no. But knowing when to say yes can be a little more complicated, because there are always a number of competing options. And to answer that question, we need to look to our heart. In today's scripture, Jesus teaches that we should love God with all that we have and are, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, and then love our neighbors as ourselves. This is a clear and consistent message throughout scripture. From Moses to Jesus, we are taught that two things are the key to everything else. Love God and love others, and everything else will fall into place. The problem is we don't all love the same way. The character and object of our love varies from person to person. We can all love from our strength, but the gifts and abilities that make up that strength are different from one to another. We all love from our soul, but each personality is unique. We all love using our mind, but the connections between our individual life and the needs of others are going to be different from person to person. And we can all love using our hearts, but what ministries our hearts are drawn to are as varied as our gifts, as unique as our personalities. We all care about different things. We're all drawn to different issues, problems, people. For each of us, what gets our blood moving, what we care deeply about, is something different. For one, it may be environmental concerns, while for another, it may be caring for the sick, or visiting the homebound, or working for the homeless, or teaching children and youth. Bottom line, maybe fixing things. It's bottom line, each of us has things that we care about that touch our heart. And that's what we need to listen to if we're to serve from our shape. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, I think is trying to get at this truth when he makes a statement that says, "For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure." God marries our will, our want to, the desires of our heart, what we care about, with our able to work, our abilities, our gifts, our personality, our experience, so that our pleasure is God's pleasure. Frederick Buechner, in his book Wishful Thinking, puts it this way. Some of you may have noticed the quote that's on the bulletin board, and this is the full quote that ends with the line that's on the bulletin board out in the Garth. "There are all different kinds of voices calling to you, different kinds of work, and the problem is finding out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this. The kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work that A, you most need to do, and B, the world most needs to have done. The work that you need most to do and that the world most needs to have done. If you really get a kick out of your work, you've probably met requirement A. But if your work is writing television deodorant commercials, chances are you may have missed requirement B. On the other hand, Buechner says, if your work is being a doctor in a leper colony, you have probably met requirement B. But if most of the time you are bored and depressed by it, chances are you have not only bypassed A, but probably aren't helping your patients much either. The place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I'm going to repeat that again. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I think what Buechner is describing here is a life that's lived out of its shape, and an invitation for us to listen to and ask questions of our heart. Questions like, what do I care about? What excites and gives me energy? What do I find myself thinking about? What brings a smile to my face? What breaks my heart? When I think of Christians who have followed their heart into a ministry for which they are shaped by God, the first person I think of is Mother Teresa. Sister Teresa was sent to India to serve as a teacher in a convent school, near Calcutta, where she eventually became headmistress. While she enjoyed teaching the girls, she was increasingly disturbed by the poverty she witnessed all around her. This was particularly true after witnessing the suffering brought on by the famine of 1943. The Hindu-Muslim violence in August of 1943 was the final straw for her. And on 10th of September 1946, Teresa experienced what she later described as the call within a call. While traveling by train from Calcutta to the Loreto Convent in Darjeeling on her annual retreat, she realized that her heart was with the poor and that God wanted her to leave the convent and help the poor while living among them. This happened in 1948, and the Missions of Charity were born. Of course, Mother Teresa is famous, and what she accomplished is amazing. But examples of those who offered who they are and what they have as their heart leads them are all around us. For example, I am my daughter Chaney's mother because a woman, Lily Nee, followed her heart. Lily was born in northeastern China. She grew up during the Cultural Revolution, where she learned firsthand about the fragility of life. She grew up to study law, became a business law attorney in China. Then in 1987, she reluctantly followed her husband, or her fiancé at that point, Josh Zhang, to the United States. There she learned English from the couple with whom they stayed, who were raising four adopted children. Following graduation, she and Josh moved to Colorado, where they both attended graduate school. Then, in 1992, her heart directed her to a ministry for which she was shaped. That year, China changed their laws to allow foreigners to adopt Chinese children. Lily used her knowledge of the Chinese legal system and her passion for children and her passion for adopted families that she had learned with the family they lived with in America, and founded Chinese Children Adoption International. Their first office was in the basement of Riverside Baptist Church. In 1994, they placed 20 abandoned infants in loving homes in Colorado. In 1995, they placed 140 babies. To date, they have placed over 12,000 abandoned Chinese children, including my daughter, Cheney, as well as their own youngest child. Following the Haitian earthquake a number of years ago, she expanded the vision of the agency and partnered with an orphanage in Haiti to help those children also find homes. Lily has the qualities needed for this ministry. She has leadership and mercy gifts. She has always been an organized woman with a sharp legal mind. She has firsthand experience of both China and the United States, but it is her heart that helped her find the place to serve. One last story. Jean came to Church of the Hills in Evergreen, Colorado, where I served, after an early retirement. She got involved in lots of things. She had lots of energy. She did everything. However, our alternative Christmas fair is what captured her heart. Now, this had just begun as a simple pre-Christmas educational event where we provided information on various mission organizations that we supported as a congregation and invited people to make a donation in lieu of buying a gift for someone they knew that already had too much stuff. Over the years, it had expanded to include a couple of groups who began to bring along small items that they'd sell to raise money for their organization. You know, the women's shelter had pins, that kind of thing. Jean loved this idea. She loved the idea of making Christmas less commercial, and she was strongly drawn to help people not only in our Evergreen community, but all around the world. And she saw how this ministry accomplished both those goals. Under her leadership, the Alternative Christmas Fair grew. Today, somewhere around 50 different organizations participate, from a women's shelter in Denver to a local Habitat for Humanity chapter, an orphanage in Peru, women in Thailand, a clinic in Rwanda. After a couple of years, the Lutheran Church asked to partner with us. Today, 7 local congregations sponsor the event. I'm not sure how much was raised last year, but the last time I checked, which has been a couple years ago, the 2-day event, which draws people now from all over the Denver metro area up into the foothills community of Evergreen, raised over $150,000. With every dollar going directly to the participating organizations. All of this because one woman followed her heart and offered her gifts, abilities, and dynamic personality to God to help people around the world. Same can be true for any of us. When we serve God in ways that are true to our God-given shape, including where our heart leads us, so in conclusion, I want to remind you of a story I told you, I think, about this time last year. Once upon a time, the 1,000,000th Ford Mustang carburetor came off the production line. It was a sight to behold, gleaming, burnished, perfect. So the vice president in charge of production had his picture taken with it. And then he put it on display in his office. And there it sat for 3 years. But as is true of all Fortune 500 companies, vice presidents at Ford come and go. And as a new vice president consigned that carburetor to a closet. 5 years later, when the offices were being redecorated, it was found and shuffled off to basement storage. 10 years after that, when the basement was being cleaned, it was carted off to a junkyard where it languished another 5 years. But then, one day, a man who was restoring a Mustang came along. He asked the junkman, "Do you have any parts?" The carburetor was unearthed. The man installed it in his restored car and started up the engine. The environment was hot and noisy, full of flame and controlled explosions. There was oil and grease and dirt and a constant racket. The carburetor was in heaven. For the first time, the carburetor was using its gifts. It was doing what it was created to do. May the same be said for each of us. By the grace and to the glory of God. Amen.